He's probably coming on now.
Yeah, probably.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
How's everyone doing today? Everyone's in good spirits?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Today is September 7th, 2011. And this is the Weekly Influence Call. My name's Kurt Mortensen. There was a little confusion last week. I was on a plane, and someone was supposed to get on it. I posted a video for the training last week. If you didn't get it, you can go to whypersuasion.com and download it before we change it up. But my assistant got on the wrong number to inform everybody, and no one was there. But anyway, long story. Apologize for that. So I did post a recording for everyone that is on Why Persuasion. You're welcome to download that and watch that. That's what it's there for. I'll wait 24 hours before I change it up with this week's recording. So all the recordings, and if there's any, if we get stuck in a plane or we post some weekly things, that's all on Why Persuasion. Questions you have, whypersuasion.com is the best place to go. So before we get started this week, are there any questions out there?
I have one. Did you say a few weeks ago that you were going to start doing this as a webinar or at some point?
Yeah, we're a little behind, but our goal is sometimes to go to webinars. So we're going to announce that on these calls, and we'll also post all the instructions on whypersuasion.com. But that is definitely the goal. We got the GoToWebinar format. It's all set up. We just have to get it all ready to roll and implement it. So sometime this month, we will be implementing it. So we'll let you know on this call, too. And if for some reason in the future you get out no one's here, just go to whypersuasion.com, and all the information will be there. And then you'll be able to see what we're talking about. All right. All right, any persuasion or influence questions out there? Things you're running into? Or do you just want me to go?
Go.
Just go. All right, wind me up and go. Now, hopefully you've been studying magnetic persuasion, which includes the 12 laws of persuasion. The one law of persuasion that's abused and overused more than any other law, but another still critical law, is what's called social psychologists call it psychological reactance. The reality is it's all about scarcity and urgency. If someone comes to your website and thinks they can think about it or come back later, we all know that's the kiss of death. Now, they mean to come back. They'll probably call you back, but they just never do. But on the other hand, if someone says, well, and then in the car industry, they call them be-backs. Oh, I'll be back. And we know they're not coming back. They might intend to, but they don't. And then on the other hand, we see these furniture stores. Now, in your area, how often do these furniture stores go out of business?
Right?
Is that possible? The same store in the same year, the same location going out of business? Well, they have found, and they're abusing this law, that increases people in the stores. Because when things are scarce and less available, people want it more. But the problem is people just don't believe it anymore. If you went to a cell phone store and you were looking at a phone and the salesperson said, oh, sale ends today, what are you thinking inside?
Yeah,
exactly. Thank you. That's a bunch of bull. There's no way I come back tomorrow. You're going to give me the same deal. So the challenge is twofold. People are abusing it so much nobody believes it that on the other hand, if you don't use it, they're never going to call you back anyway. So we're kind of stuck in the middle. I'll just kind of talk about the science here and some of the latest stuff that's happening with scarcity and urgency. And the reality is this reactance that the thought of losing something has a greater emotional toll than the thought of gaining something. The thought of losing $100 is probably more than gaining $100. And things are more valuable and scarce when they're less available. It drives us to actions. And when you tell somebody they can't do something, they resist you. I mean, you look at children, for example. You put them into a room full of toys, and there's 20 toys on the ground. And then there's the one. They said, okay, you can play with all the 19, you just can't play with that one. Play with all 19, you can't play with that one. So what do kids do?
Play with that one.
Yeah, they approach the one. You told them not to approach 3 times faster. You can take a look at things like eBay. When you have a bidding process, people pay more. You don't pay $20 for that. Somebody takes it away from you. They outbid you. All of a sudden, tensions rise. You don't even know this person. You're angry at this 90-year-old woman in Wisconsin that they've taken something away from you. And it gets all of us. I remember I was on a cruise with my wife when we were stopping at the island of Grenada, the Caribbean, and we were eating dinner with this couple. And they said, did you know this is the only place on earth where you can get nutmeg syrup? We're like, really? Only place on earth? Nutmeg syrup? I don't even know what that is. But when we got off the boat, guess what we bought?
Nutmeg syrup.
Nutmeg syrup. I still won't try it, but we bought it. So we see it at shoe stores. Last one left in your size. Home Shopping Network. What do they do to create that urgency, that allure, that scarcity? You ever seen Home Shopping Network before? There's two things they do that creates urgency.
There's only a few left.
Yeah, they have a quantity. The quantity is going down. And then also they have a countdown clock. So, again, we're in this tough little between overused, but if we don't use it, then they don't go call us anyway. You even look at things like the World Diamond Supply. There's only really one big company that controls the diamonds. We have more diamonds in the world than we know what to do with. But they're very careful at slowly releasing the supply because it keeps the value up. When you go to a supermarket, when they say limit four, you don't need four, but limit four. More people will buy four. Happens to me. I go to the store. My wife said, why'd you buy four things of ice cream? I'll limit four. It's just a subconscious thing. So you can use it in the right way. So if you're doing real estate or if you're selling a car, so let's say you're selling a home and you have somebody come by at 1 o'clock, somebody come at 2 o'clock, somebody come by at 3 o'clock to look at the house. Why is that not good? What's a better way to do it?
Have them all come at once.
Thank you. Everyone come at once. Because now when they're by themselves, it's, oh, there's a scratch there, a carpet there, yeah. But when they're all together, it's a different mindset. Somebody else wants it. It's also a form of social validation. It's a whole different experience. You look at – now, the key thing with your scarcity, which you do have to have, it needs to be something legitimate. It needs to be something that's believable. You look at Disney. Disney sells a lot of DVDs. What is the one thing they do that dramatically increases their DVD sales? We remember? Seen
put them
before?
Back
in the Disney vault, right?
That's right.
If you don't get it this month, it's going back in the Disney vault. The last time this decade, the last time this, I've even made the last time this century they used. But they do. They put it back. And so it has to be something legitimate, something believable. There has to be a reason for the urgency for the price to go up. And that's why when you see new, not available in stores, so you have to look at what your website, whatever it is that you're doing, what is the urgency for them to do it now? Is it some type of deadline where the price will go up or the offer will change? Maybe there's limited space. You're only taking the first 50 or the first 10 get this free report or the first 10 get a free consult or the first 10 fill in the blank. Maybe it's something that they might lose out if they don't do it. They never will be able to. See that network marketing, you know, being on the top, got to be on the top. Sometimes even if you restrict freedom, people want it more. You see that with country clubs. Oh, we only take 10 people a year, and, you know, that's restricting freedom. And so think about your product, your service, your website, what you're doing. What can you do to create legitimate scarcity that's, again, legitimate and that's also something believable? Because remember the two sides. We've got the one side that's abusing it and overusing it. And then we have the other side that doesn't use any type of scarcity and that just people never come back. Now, here's the latest research on this. This is what you need to understand. When you use scarcity, you need to buffer it with some type of reward. Let me explain that. So make sure you write that down. It's very important. When you use scarcity, make sure you buffer it with the reward. So if I'm doing some type of, let's say I'm selling persuasion CDs. And I said, okay, today, if I'm speaking at a seminar, today you get a discount. I'll give you a 50% discount today, so that's your scarcity. That's your urgency. It's only good today. And when you also do it today, I will give you an extra CD set on and whatever it would be. So if you're going to use this the right way, use the scarcity, use the urgency, but when they do make a decision, you're going to give them some type of reward. You know, this, the offer on this house is only good for 72 hours, but if you can do it within that 72-hour period, I will throw in a year of homeowner's insurance. High perceived value, low cost. That's the key. That's what's making the difference when we notice when we're studying scarcity and urgency that still need to have it. Has to be believable, because the truth isn't always believable. It has to make sure it's believable and truthful, obviously. It's believable, and it's something legitimate, something they can understand, and then buffer with reward. If I was doing cell phones, hey, you know, the sale does end today. The reason why is the new models are coming out, so I've given them a reason. And when you can do it today, I can, instead of giving you 1,000 minutes a month, I can give you unlimited. That's the reward. Scarcity versus reward. That's going to make a big difference in what you are able to do. Now let's take a look at what you're doing, your product or service, and as a group, let's talk about how do we create urgency, how do we create scarcity. Who wants to put a product or service out there, and we'll talk about it as a group? Anybody?
What was the question? I'm sorry.
Say, tell me your product or service, what you're doing right now, and as a group, we'll talk about how to create more scarcity and how to buffer that with some type of reward. Anybody want to get some good feedback?
I already got an idea.
Well, go ahead and
tell us. You want to tell us? What's your product?
We do hospital record searches.
Okay. Go ahead.
The fact tell. You've already been into it, Kurt. You know what we're talking about. The other people might not.
Okay.
Well, you said you have to scarcity with a reward. Well, I'm thinking of offering any of our services, the standard hospital or an extended hospital. And if they order it, like, let's say every Monday we have a special. We say if you order a standard hospital, we'll give you same day service, or but just for that day. Or we'll give you six more free hospitals. It has to be whatever we are offering, like whatever we're selling. If we want to say an extended, and then we give them six free.
Okay. Well, what we need for that is we have different sizes of packages, and the extended is the largest package. So she says if they order our largest package, we'll add some kind of a bonus to it.
Okay, good. So we have the bonus. What's the scarcity for them to make a decision today?
It's only that day. Only on Mondays.
So it's your Monday special?
Mm-hmm.
And typical during the week, it'll go up in price. Okay. You might be.
We'll get the bonus.
Right.
Okay, that would be part of it too.
His question is what creates a scarcity? How can we create a scarcity in the service we provide to make them think that they have a sense of need for it? They better act quickly. How do you do that?
If they don't order that day, then they're not going to get it the next day.
No, but what if it's Wednesday? You know, I mean, what if we want to do this on a Wednesday?
That's
how
fine.
That?
So we say only on Wednesday.
Well, we can't have a standing offer that says Monday. Every Monday you can get it. It's got to be just for that one day.
So let's talk about that. The creating a scarcity. It could be limited. You only take X amount of people a week, or this offer is only good for, you know, X amount of time. Maybe it's 72 hours. Maybe it's for this deal. You know, we can't offer this expedited service for everybody, so it's only the first two people that contact you that day. So there's some things to think through to expedite that scarcity, that urgency.
That works.
First two, yeah.
That works.
Yeah, I like
that. That special. Then again, the scarcity, it's believable, it's legitimate, and then the reward, of course, you're adding additional searches or a few other things.
Right.
Definitely.
That works.
Yep.
Anybody else have a product out there they want to throw out to the group?
I'm going to try that.
Anybody?
Hey, Kurt, before you go, I have a question. I don't know if this is the right time to answer it, because it's got nothing to do with your train of thought here, but I would like to ask a question at some point.
Go ahead.
We are trying to communicate with our clients by email. We're trying to cut down on the cost of postage. Now, we're getting more. In the past, we had not gotten very many email addresses because I was a dinosaur, and I didn't think that that was a real good idea. But now we're starting to get the point, and the point is email marketing is maybe the best for us, and it may be the best for our clients. The problem that we have is we don't know really what frequency to use it. I mean, I have one guy who's a I guess you could say he's a success guru, who I got into his orbit, and he sends me an email every day. Not almost every day, every day. And at some point, it starts to, the value of whatever he's got to say or offer is diluted by the fact that he just pounds it down my throat. So I'm kind of wondering, is there any rule of thumb? I'm not talking about marketing to people you don't know, to prospects. I'm talking about the people you do know, your clients. Is there any rule of thumb that you can get a maximum exposure without getting people sick and tired of hearing from you?
That's an excellent question, and that's also the opposite of scarcity, because when they're hitting you every day, that's way too much, and you end up unsubscribing or not even opening them.
Don't even open them.
And a lot of these marketing gurus, their model is, I am going to hit you until you buy something. I'm going to just keep hitting you until you buy something. And hit you, and that's why they do it a lot of times every day, three or four times a week. Now, when you have a database of clients that like you and know you, and you can offer some great information, then you should probably hit them maybe minimum once a month, maybe even once a week. Something short, something brief. Hey, did you know this? I saw this article. Hey, did you know about this? And give them great information either once a week or twice a month. And every once in a while, you might want to throw in a special or throw in an offer. And so you're not pounding them every week as far as buy this, do this, you got to see this. But they know when they open up, and this is for your clientele, they know you and they like you. They know when they click on it, it'll be good information. It'll help their business. And it'll make you the credible, what we call the rock star, the expert, to where when they ever need have anything, to if they need to recommend you or they need any help, you're the person they're going to go to because you're always on their mind. So
there's
I would say.
There's only so much I can say about what we do, okay? I mean, really, it's a kind of a simple process. There's only so much I can say about it. The one thing I've done forever is if I send somebody something in the mail or by email, I always, 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 without fail, give them a freebie. Something that's going to, you know, there's never a time they're going to open up something from us where there's not something in it that they can benefit from in terms of saving money, saving time, like that. But that's not really my question. My question is, if I'm going to market, I'm not talking about educating my clients because there's only so much I can, as I said, there's only so much I can say about my service. Although I can say things about claims adjusting in general, but I'm really not an expert in claims adjusting. I'm an expert in what I do. And I don't want to start, how to put it, getting too far afield in terms of my message. My message is I have something really good here. It saves you a lot of money, a lot of time, et cetera. How often do I send that message, Kurt, to people who know me?
I'd say minimum once a month, if it's just not information. But then I'm thinking big picture, if you can provide some information, a little tidbit of information that's valuable to them, then I know it's a lot of effort and it's a lot more work, but that keeps your list warm, that keeps you in their mind, that keeps you on the top of the list.
Yeah.
It's just something to think about. I know it's more work. But then a little tidbit here, or maybe once or twice a month, hey, I found this. Did you notice this? Here's a shift in the industry. This is what's going on. That type of thing, even if you want to link to another article, I think is going to be important to really keep that list warm. You have to think, okay, what type of information is my list looking for?
I think you're right. I think you're right. And we are going to have to somehow keep our ear to the ground for changes in climate, changes in whatever. And share that.
This is what I recommend everyone to do because you need to become the expert in whatever you do. Google has a service, trying to remember the name, see if I can find it, where you can put in keywords for your industry, and every night it will tell you different things and different articles where it pops up that's brand new.
Really?
And so if you put in, you know, adjustment, claims adjuster, whatever it is, hospitals, you want to be pretty specific, otherwise you'll get a ton of different links. For example, I always know when there's a new posting with my name in it or something on Charisma or something on Persuasion IQ, I get notified that, hey, there's a new post, there's a new thing, so it keeps me up to speed. You might want to take a look at the industry websites, some of the industry magazines, and it's okay to hey, there was a great article. Did you see it in, you know, Blank Magazine? I thought, did you know this and this and this? Here's the link to the article. It doesn't have to be that long, and then there are plenty of services out there that will send out that email for you. Are you sending out your own email or are you using a service?
No, we're doing it ourselves. What did you say that was, Kurt? At Google, that you can put in keywords and it will tell you, what was that again?
It'll tell you where it shows up.
Okay, well,
like if there's a new posting or something new about it.
How do we know about finding that link?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I'm trying to remember the name. Let me see if I can... I'm going to look it up here real fast. Let's take another question while I'm looking. Are there any other questions out there? Now, if I was doing, say, network marketing, what could be the scarcity? Let's take it just a generic industry.
Well, you hit on it before when you said to be at the top, and most network marketings, there's new business centers. That if a person is at the top of a business center, they're going to have some advantage, or there can be people who are on the fence whether to join or not, and you can use that as well. John here is about to join. If you can come in now, he'll be in your downline.
Okay, that would work. You might want to say, you know, because it takes so much time for me to train you, I only take 2 people a month or 4 people a month or 1 person a week. That could be a form of scarcity.
Right.
You could, you know, a lot of these companies will offer a special every month where, hey, this is, you'll save $100 this month. That would be a form of scarcity. Interviewing people to see if they qualify to join your team would be a form of scarcity because they have to qualify. That's a whole different mindset because rather than trying to push it down their throat, now they have to qualify. That is a form of scarcity. You only take so many clients, so many customers a month. So that's the scarcity side to it. What could be the reward for a home-based business? Think of it. What could be a reward? Say, okay, you're going to save $100.
Right.
What could be a reward?
Or a book or a you know, it could even be as much as a night out.
It could be, yeah. It could be, you know, a free dinner at the restaurant downtown. It could be a special CD training series that's normally $200 that you're going to give away. It could be you're going to double their order size. It could be you're going to double their warranty. Not so much the network marketing, I'm talking about in general, double their warranty or double, instead of a 6-month subscription, it's going to be a 12-month subscription. Those are the type of bonuses that you would look for. So we have to think, okay, what's going to create that urgency? What's going to create that scarcity? We buffer it with the reward, and that would go a long way. So let's take, is there another product? You want me to create a generic one? Anybody that want to throw a product out, we'll do it for them. What's that? Is there somebody? Let's take just something generic here. How about
weight loss?
What's that?
A weight loss product.
Okay, a weight loss product. So what would be the, so you have a weight loss product. They're looking at it. They're sitting on the fence. What type of scarcity could you create? What would be a scarcity? I mean, the price could go up. It could only, you're doing 5 people a week. Part of that scarcity, too, is if they don't take it now, what are they going to do?
Right, they're going to be contests.
What's that?
It could be a contest.
Yeah, there could be a contest. There could be a reward. There could be, you know, it's new on the market. They're only taking X amount of people. It could be a reduction in price. It could be a variety of things, and then the reward could be you could double the order, you could give them a personal coaching session, you're going to throw in. Well, you can't. Well, I got to watch my verbal package. You don't want to say throw in. You want to include. Throw in is not a very good persuasive word. You want to include additional products, additional services. So, again, our fine line here, it's been abused, so we need to make it legitimate and believable. But if we don't use it, they're not going to do it anyway, and that's where we're going to offer the reward. It's a simple thing, but if you can really brainstorm what it is, it will go a long way. The website, if you go to Google, just Google Alerts, and it'll alert you for any string of words you want for free. Google Alerts. It's actually Google/alerts, I believe, .com. You want to just go there. No, Google.com/alerts is the direct place to get there.
Google.com?
Google.com/alerts. So if you have a very... Now, you want to make it as specific as possible because otherwise you're going to get a load of stuff. But if something very specific to your industry, what you're looking for, then it will notify you when that's happening. And then you can use that for, you know, an email campaign or just stay up to speed. Or maybe you want to put your name in there and be alerted when someone says something about you.
Google.com/alerts.
Now, after a while, if you are sending out your own emails, you're going to have a problem probably with your service provider. Was it Bob? You said you're sending out your own emails?
Yeah, Marlene can tell you about that. Go ahead, tell Marlene.
How many are there?
Well, we started out sending out 56,000 a month, and we got a little flack from the server.
Yeah, they'll do that.
Now, as far as our clients are concerned, we only have about 400 or 500 emails from our clients because we really haven't collected them up until this year. So we just really started now to start collecting them. We have right now about 800 active clients, but we only have about half of their email addresses, as I said, because we never went out of our way to collect them. So what we did was we did some email marketing to some opt-in attorneys, lawyers. I think we had 56,000, 58,000 of them. And when we sent those out, we got some flack about it. We could probably use a service that would facilitate getting out a lot of emails because I know you have to pay for that. Of course, we weren't. We were just, you know, sending them out ourselves. But we really do need to link up with some kind of service that would allow us to do that without getting shut down.
Yeah, because even sometimes if you send them through your own server, they'll pretend to send them and they won't.
Really?
Your server.
Wow.
So that could be problematic sometimes. They're only allowed, most servers only allow you so many emails per day just to kind of keep themselves and so they don't get on the blacklist. Here's a couple things, and this is for everybody as you grow your list and build your business. Couple options out there. Constant Contact is the one that I use. They have a free service. When you get started, it's as little as $25 a month. It depends how big your database is. They have templates. They maintain the database. They fix it when somebody unsubscribes. And that's a tough thing because a lot of times people will subscribe, and a year later they'll report you as spam. You're like, wait a minute. Even though you can prove they subscribed a year earlier, the tie goes to the runner, I guess. They always believe the other person first. And so they take care of all that, any spam complaints, anything like that. Now, also depending on what you do, another good service is called aweber.com. Now, they're a little bit different because they do what's called a double opt-in, meaning when you subscribe to a newsletter, Aweber is going to send out an email and says, are you sure? Did you really want this? Click here again. So they've had to click twice. Now, the great thing about that is that you have incredible delivery rates. Everybody gets it. But then the other thing about that is that you will lose some people from one click to two clicks. You just kind of have to gauge what your goal is and what you want to do. But ultimately, as you maintain your list, you probably want to look at a service. There's one called relevanttools.com. There are some free ones out there, too, if you want. But you have to deal with pop-ups and other things. When your lists are small, they're relatively inexpensive. But as your lists grow, you can segment them. You can say these are your newsletters, these are your buyers, these are your seminar attendees, these are the ones that were interested. Even if you're doing real estate, you should keep track of these people and send out a newsletter. Even if you do a network marketing, you should keep track of these people it's amazing when I can somebody doing a home-based business and they've had, you know, 1,000 people they've talked to in the last couple of years, send them an email once a month. Keep them warm. You'll be surprised how many say, you know what, I'm ready now. I've heard more about that. Can we talk? And a lot of people don't even bother sending it out. Because remember, it's about 5 to 7 contacts average in a sales situation that's going to get somebody to say yes.
Are you talking about this Weber, AWeber, whatever it is, .com? We're not sending out enough emails to need constant contact, I don't think. I've talked to them a couple of times. They're kind of uppity, you know. They have their standards, and they don't want you if you're trying to do marketing. They only want you if you're sending information to your own clients. Well, fine. So they're not for us, and we're not for them, I don't think. But what I do want is to be able to link. I'm about to buy a list of around 50,000 attorneys, and I'd like to try to send it to that list, but I'm not going to go through the same thing we did again last time. Is there a service we can subscribe to that would send out those 50,000 emails and keep track of the opt-outs and things like that? Is that AWeber? Would that do that?
No. AWeber's, they're the strictest of all of them, so
okay.
They definitely would be the ones. Relevant Tools is a little more lenient. They're going to ask you, okay, how did you get the list? Do they know they're going to get the email? That sort of thing. I would check to see the person you're buying to if they'll send it out for you.
Yeah, they do, but boy, do they ever charge a lot. They charged us, they set the first list of out for around $100, and then the second one they wanted $1,000. And I'm not paying $1,000 a month to send out, you know, to send out emails. That nuts to that. I'd rather, you know, do it in little bites, you know, do it every day, do a couple thousand a day or something. But what I don't mind paying somebody a reasonable amount of money, but $1,000 to send out, I don't know how many it was. It was 15,000, 16,000 emails. It's a lot of money.
It is, but we have to look at the big picture. What's the return on investment? If that gets you 100 new clients, then it becomes a no-brainer, right?
And no, it's that's the message that gets you the 100 new clients. It's not the service that's sending them.
No, that's true. That's true. But if they get it out, nobody else can. I mean, there are people in the Cayman Islands that will send out to different lists. I'm not sure who they would be. I would do a search of kind of different, maybe look at Relevant Tools. And to do something like that, you probably only want to do maybe send out 500 a day or something like that. Keep it kind of low, below the radar, not too many. Filter
yeah.
out the spam complaints.
Okay.
Slowly build your list would be a way to do that.
Yeah.
And they're just concerned. As long as... Now, assuming you're purchasing a good list, you're not going to get that many spam complaints. But if you send out 1,000 and get 100 spam complaints, they're going to shut you down, but it also tells you you bought a really bad list.
Well, the people selling me the list tell me it's an opt-in list, that they've checked every single one, and these people said, yeah, they want to hear this stuff. So, you know,
they'll let you send it out, and you'll know you send out your first 500. You just take a look the next day, and you'll say, well, I had 2 spam complaints, and that's not too bad, and they're not going to, and then these companies aren't going to care. So if it's a good list, it's not going to be an issue.
Okay. I have one other question. I know I don't want to monopolize your time, but Marlene here, who works with me, came up with a pretty good idea, and her idea lent me another idea, and that is how valid is it to get clients to feel like they're, how to put it, like they're extra special. The reason I'm saying that is because I'm thinking along the lines of offering a discount, a preferred client discount, but they have to ask for it. You know, in other words, if you want your preferred client discount, click here, give me my preferred client discount. That way, is there a psychological thing going on there, positive or negative?
Oh, absolutely. It's a law of esteem. We want to feel special. We want to feel needed. We want to feel like we're going to deal. We're part of the team, that you appreciate us, that you like our business, that we're – all those things come into play where they feel like they're getting a great deal, that you're treating them a little extra special. That's why the airlines, if you travel a lot with them, you get the special line. You get upgraded to first class. You get special meals. You get their special rooms. And that's how they keep people loyal, and people appreciate that. So the answer is absolutely.
All right, thanks. You can limit that to so many a year also.
There's your scarcity right there. We take this is my inner circle, and there's only so many people we take every year part of the inner circle. You get a special deal. You get extra contact with me. You get double of this, and people love it.
We only take people between March and July.
We only take people with IQs between, no, I don't know. You can add whatever you want there. People that are not ornery during the week, those type of things. So here's what I want you to think about with your products and what you do. How can you create that urgency, that scarcity, that they, causes them to act quicker, and then what can you reward them with that has high value to them, low cost to you, and that way it'll buffer that, and it will work much, much better for you. Because if they have time to think about it, if they think they can come back to your website, if they think they can call you later, if there's no reason to decide now, the human brain won't decide. It likes extra time. You look at people have 4.5 months to pay their taxes. How long do they take?
4 months.
5 months. Four and a half months, then they extend. But that's kind of how it works. And even in the workplace, if you have a project and someone sets a deadline, it always comes to the deadline. It always comes to the deadline. That's how the brains, that's how our brains work. So work on that. Now, the video I posted from last week, I believe, is on how to write persuasive emails, which is what we kind of talked about today. So download that, and then here in about 24 hours, we'll post the recording from this call. And any questions are there, you can always look at whypersuasion.com. Any other questions out there?
While we're talking about emails, what effect is social media like Facebook and Twitter having on reaching people, or even phone texting in lieu of emails? My grandkids, I can't reach them by email anymore. It almost got to be a text. And
texting is, especially for that generation, but everyone, when you look at, especially professional, using things like LinkedIn, Facebook, having some type of group, some type of club on those type of things, it's good at least to have some type of presence so people can find you and track you down. But social media is huge, and it's how a lot of people are communicating, especially the up-and-coming generation.
And do people do that with a large list like he was talking about, 50,000 names or...
A lot of them do have big Facebook, so you can develop kind of a community within Facebook in a certain specific niche, and people join, and you put good information on there. And it's definitely, it's not going away, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Not going away.
Great.
All right, well, everyone have a great week. Wish you massive success, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
All right, good night, everyone. You bet, we'll see you.
Good night.